Sean, how you doing?
I'm great, Jason. How you doing?
Hey, I'm excellent. What? I guess I understand their frustration, but what do the Raptors ultimately think happens in their appeal? Because there's no chance the NBA changes anything. I don't see how they can.
Yeah, I mean, I do think the Raptors did kind of get jobbed in that call. Just because, I mean, you know, the onus shouldn't be on Terrence Ross to realize that, you know, the Sacramento timekeeper made a mistake. And like, I totally think that, you know, if the refs had, you know, kind of gotten it right, you know, they would have, you know, gone to overtime or replayed the play or whatever. But yeah, I guess I don't really expect much from the appeal, even if they were to get the appeal sort of granted. I don't really know how it just doesn't work logistically to sort of make that up, right? The Raptors don't play Sacramento again this season. You know, I think they only have like one more West Coast trip left on the schedule, and I mean, I'd imagine that'd be hard to line up. You know, going to Sacramento to play in overtime, I'm not sure it'd be worth the hassle, and it might, you know, sort of affect them, you know, negatively on whatever trip they end up going on out west in the future, right? Because it's just another thing you got to do. So yeah, I'm not expecting much more than an apology if that's, you know, what comes of it, and I guess it's just time to move on, I suppose.
Now, in this little stretch where they had, you know, back-to-back games, difficult, the Clippers are playing excellent, the Warriors are good, the Cavs are good, but the Raptors were close but didn't beat any of them. How much of a concern is that? Because I think most people look at the Raptors and say they're an obvious playoff team, but if they want to go farther than last year, they're going to have to beat those teams. What do they need to do to maybe get into that echelon of the Warriors and Cavs, or is it even possible?
Yeah, look, I mean, a lot of teams lose games to the Warriors, Cavs, and Clippers. Those three teams are playing out of their minds right now. You know, the Warriors are coming together. Their offense is unstoppable. The Clippers have been maybe the best team in the league so far this season. And, I mean, the Cavs last night put up 81 in the first half of their game. It's just, those are really good teams. And the Raptors are, it's possible for them to be a very good team without being quite on that level. I do think the Raptors still, you know, despite the little hiccup over the last week, it was very much schedule related, sort of the struggle that they've had. They lost 4 or 5, obviously, but, you know, three of those games come against the three best teams in the NBA. You have a game that they, you know, almost blow in Denver at altitude, which was tough. And then the Sacramento Kings, you know, they're weird, and obviously the weird end of the game sort of, you know, played into that as well. I do think the 9-6 record, you know, they're better than that. I do think, you know, the last night's game against Houston was really indicative of how good this team is. Houston came into that game, you know, I think they had won 4 in a row coming in. Their offense was the 4th best offense in the league. And, you know, James Harden playing out of his mind, and the Raptors did a really nice job of forcing Harden into a ton of turnovers. They, you know, played, you know, pretty good defense all told, and, you know, kept the Rockets from really hurting them from the 3-point line. And it was just a good team effort. And I think the Raptors, because of just sort of the depth that they showed last night, they're going to be in that race for the 2 seed again. Whether or not they can get in with the Warriors and Cavs and Clippers, it totally depends on what opens up via the trade market over the course of the season. And if that doesn't happen this season, I think that's also okay. I mean, you re-sign Kyle Lowry, you still have most of the core locked in. You know, it's not like a win-now move has to be made this season. You can always look forward to next season and maybe another guy becomes available. Maybe they can get into the running for a big free agent this summer. Who knows? So even if they don't get into that echelon this season, I don't think it means that they'll never get there per se.
But you look at it, it's like DeMar DeRozan has taken his game to a new level early on this season. I don't think there's any arguing that. Kyle Lowry obviously is an excellent point guard. And if you don't have a point guard in the NBA, you strictly don't have a chance to win. It's just kind of how the game is going right now. There seems to be that need for the third guy. Who do you think is the best option to be that third guy, or do they need to go get the third guy?
Well, I mean, right now, Jonas Valanciunas was playing really well. Last night, he had 15 points, 16 rebounds, you know, really sort of asserted his presence in the post early in the game against, you know, sort of Houston, sort of more gangly, less physically imposing centers. And, you know, Valanciunas has the skill to be a very good, you know, efficient scorer. He has been that for a couple of years now. And his, you know, usage has gone up this season. His numbers are slightly improved over last season. So Valanciunas has that sort of makeup to be a third reliable guy. It's just a matter of his defense. And you saw last week against the Warriors, for example, he barely played in the second half because his defense isn't quite there. And, you know, that's always going to be an issue. Last night I expected him to struggle because Houston sort of, you know, spreads it out. They have a lot of shooters. They make things difficult for, you know, slower, more, you know, slow-footed centers. And, you know, Valanciunas, whether he can full season against a lot of these best, a lot of the really good, ton of trouble because of, you know, the way they spread things out. I'm not sure if Valanciunas can be that guy just in terms of how this team is.
Well, we'll try to get Sean back. I think we lost connection there.
Now, you know, the Sixers aren't in the mode to trade guys. They're still sort of developing their young talent. Nerlens Noel is a guy that's sort of out there as a name that might be on the move, but I'm not sure he really fits that sort of third guy option that you're talking about for the Raptors. None of those teams that are at the bottom of the standings really have guys that really move the needle. The guy that I had my eye on coming into the season with the Atlanta Hawks, not really sort of, it was unclear whether they were going to be good or not with Dwight Howard at center and with Al Horford gone. They've been great this season. I think they're 10-5. They're second in the Eastern Conference right now. And I don't see them trading Paul Millsap anytime soon, because that is the guy who fits that four spot perfectly for the Raptors, who would be just an excellent complement next to what the Raptors already have. And maybe, you know, if the Hawks sort of sputter and they lose a bunch of games and they are, you know, go into the trade deadline, you know, around 500, perhaps that's something they'll look at. But other than that, I don't really see a move this season that's going to give the Raptors that third guy that's, you know, a guaranteed, you know, sort of big three type of guy. But Valanciunas is, you know, a pretty solid third option for any team to have.
Sean Woodley joins us from TSN 1050 discussing the Raptors. Now, in Toronto, because he's from there, how much interest do basketball fans have in Andrew Wiggins?
I think it's a lot. I think, you know, there was a lot of sort of, I think, frustration with Wiggins this summer when Team Canada failed to qualify for the Olympics in that tournament that they played in the Philippines, where, you know, Tristan Thompson was there. He was like a few days off winning a title, and he flew all the way to the Philippines to play. Corey Joseph was there, of course, and Wiggins didn't play. And I think there was some sort of frustration about that with him, but I think now you're really seeing why he took the summer off to improve his game. He struggled over the last few games. He's not shot well at all, but for the most part this season, Wiggins has been excellent. He's really taken that jump. He's still among the lead leaders in three-point shooting, which if you had told me a year ago that Wiggins would be shooting 50% from three-point range, I would have thought you were crazy. You know, that Wolves team, I think, is sort of a second team that a lot of Canadian basketball fans are adopting as a team they love, because, you know, Karl Anthony Towns is a lot of fun. People got a firsthand look at Zach LaVine last year in Toronto for the All-Star game when he, you know, dominated the dunk contest and that great shootout with Aaron Gordon. The Wolves are definitely a team that I think, you know, even the casual Canadian basketball fan who maybe is just a Raptors fan, they're definitely going to sort of flip on NBA League Pass to check out the Wolves when they can, because they're super entertaining. And it's nice to see that TSN is carrying some Wolves games this season too, to help, you know, give Wiggins some more exposure, because he is an unbelievable athlete and he's really sort of bringing all of his tools together to become a really solid player right now.
They're only 4-10. Do you think they have the pieces? Like, the West is obviously very good. Do they have the pieces, do you think, in the future, maybe another year, 2 years, to be a competitive team?
Oh, I think if you're looking at just, you know, the raw tools of a future contender of any team in the NBA right now, the Wolves are the team. They have the brightest future, I think, of any of these sort of teams that are in sort of a rebuilding or young phase. You know, the Sixers are interesting with Joel Embiid, but other than that, like, they're still sort of murky in that picture. The Wolves are, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, you know, he's already probably a top 15 or 20 player in the NBA. Wiggins is not far behind him. The Wolves, I think, you know, within the next couple of years, are going to be very much like the Oklahoma City Thunder were a few years back, where, you know, Westbrook and Durant and Serge Ibaka all came together and sort of came out of nowhere to make a conference finals pretty quickly, made a finals pretty quickly. I wouldn't be surprised if the Wolves can be that kind of team. It's just a matter of, you know, ironing some things out. They're still getting used to a new coach in Tom Thibodeau. And, you know, they're 4-10, but I think they're better than what their record shows. They've just had sort of weird hiccups in third quarters this season. I don't know what's going on where I think they're one of the best teams in the league in terms of their efficiency in first half, but the third quarter things kind of fall apart, and that's cost them a lot of games. I do think as the year sort of, you know, progresses, they're going to, you know, start winning more of those close toss-up games. And, you know, I wouldn't even be surprised. You know, you mentioned the West is strong. At the top, I definitely agree, but I do think there are a lot of teams in the middle, sort of, you know, like the Portland Trail Blazers and the Memphis Grizzlies, who are good but not great. And I do think the Wolves have a really good shot of, you know, hanging around and being in that conversation for the eighth seed coming the end of the season.
Sean Woodley joining us from TSN 1050, talking a little Raptors. Now, the Raptors, they got a lot of flack a few years ago for their draft pick. And, you know, in the NBA historically, you take guys outside of the top 10, not just in the first round, really outside of the top 10, and it's pretty tough to find anybody who's going to be an impact guy. What do you think of their draft strategy that year, or because their other picks have panned out lately, that it's not so much of a big deal?
So, yeah, I guess you're talking about Bruno Caboclo right now?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that pick has sort of been called into question by a lot of Raptors fans this season just because it's his third year of his rookie deal and he still hasn't really contributed at the NBA level. I kind of think that it's fine. The Raptors, as you mentioned, they've since then, the drafting record has been great. Norman Powell, 46th overall picks don't typically start down the stretch for teams that win 56 games, but Norman Powell did that and looked just fine. And he's not even playing right now this season because the Raptors are so deep and he doesn't really have minutes right now. But having Norm Powell, having Jakob Poeltl be able to come in and play some solid minutes, Pascal Siakam is obviously starting right now. I do think it's really a testament to Masai Ujiri's sort of strategy of building the team where, you know, you load the roster with a lot of prospects at the back of the bench. Maybe you have a year or two where that sort of is a liability. And last season we saw that. Last year they had Anthony Bennett there. They had obviously DeLon Wright and Bruno and Bebe, who weren't really guys who were useful. This season, a lot of those guys are useful, and it's just, it's added to the depth. It's cheap depth at the back of your roster where you're not paying them more than what you are for a rookie deal, and it's very useful. So I think because the Raptors have so many young guys that are working out so far, having Bruno as sort of an experiment to see what you can do with your player development process with a guy who has this kind of tools, who is, you know, like 7 feet tall with a ridiculous wingspan, seeing what you can do with that guy over the course of the long haul, I think it's an interesting experiment. And if it doesn't work, yeah, it's a 20th pick that's been thrown away. There are a couple guys who are drafted after him, like, you know, Rodney Hood with the Utah Jazz, who maybe you'd like to have on the Raptors. But I think it's neat that the Raptors are trying it. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. It's a 20th pick, whatever. If it does work out, though, you know, maybe that's just a different way for the Raptors to develop talent going forward, that they know that they can take a guy with raw tools and, you know, just work with him over the course of 3 or 4 years and eventually turn him into a rotation player, because I think that's all you really want out of Bruno Caboclo at this point, is for him to be able to play rotation minutes, be a bench guy who can, you know, be, you know, have a little bit of upside. And if they get that, it's more than a success.
Sean, we really appreciate the rundown, man. Enjoy the rest of the NBA season. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.